Hello everyone and welcome back to Free Kick. We are very, very excited to be talking defenders today. That's right, we are into our line-by-line analysis. And I am very, very lucky to be joined by Mel and Jono today. Mel and Jono, how are you going? Mel specifically first.
I am great. I'm excited that we're finally getting into our defenders episodes and line-by-line. It's really nice to kind of mix it up and instead of thinking by club, we're now thinking by line, and you know the platform is open. We get to start mucking around with our teams. It's all coming together.
Absolutely, and I mean defenders has always been a really tricky line. At least that's how I felt. Jono, what do you reckon?
Yeah, no, it's definitely a tricky line this year. I feel like the options we have are a little thinner than they have been in previous seasons. So we're gonna have to look a little bit deeper. But yeah, you're not wrong, Mel. It's definitely this time of year when I feel like we've got you're pulling everything together. It feels a lot more real, the preseason. We're getting close to the games, which is exciting.
Yeah, very exciting indeed. So we're starting with defenders, as we said. 30% of all players makes sense because it's one of the big three lines. There's a lot of interesting players in this line, but it is always the lowest scoring line, and 23% of the players in the competition that are counted as rookies or new players are in this line, but as we've seen previously, these defender rookies can be quite challenging and they're not often big money spinners. So we'll talk about that in a little bit, but we'll talk first about the top end of the players that we were interested in our defensive line last year. Our highest averaging defender last season was Tilly Lucas-Rodd. Averaged 82, but they are now at a new club, so there's uncertainty around our top scorer. There was not a huge amount of high scores either when it comes to defenders. Only two scores over 120, bearing in mind that one of those players wasn't actually a defender last year. So breakout defender star Maeve Chaplin scored 120, and Tani White was the other one who was a mid only last year. Other than that, there were very few scores over 110. We had Zippy Fish. I mean, what a season from Zippy Fish. Also a midfielder last season, now a defender. 116. Sarah Goodwin, who is now only a midfielder, 117. And we also had a massive outlier, and I want to talk to Jono about this one in particular. Mira Gervin from the Gold Coast. 115 from 10 marks. But her next best was 61. Only averaged a 52. I mean, where did that one come from, Jono?
It came out of nowhere. There's no explaining it. It was just one of those games where she's taken so many marks. The ball must have been living down there. It's hard to explain what really went on.
Yeah, absolutely. But marks, as we have always said with defenders, are the things that you want to see. And the next three highest scores are from players that basically made up a fair chunk of the All-Australian team and squad in recent seasons. Tilly Lucas-Rodd, 108. Serene Watson, what a star she was last season, 107. And Cambridge McCormick, who is, let's be honest, AFLW fantasy royalty for a number of reasons, also 107. So it's a really interesting line because we've only got six players who actually average over 70. So there's a clear premium bracket there for us, especially given we're going to be talking about a top six.
Well, yeah, I think what I find interesting about this list is sort of who I'm not seeing, because there's a lot of players from last season that have disappeared. So obviously you mentioned Sarah Goodwin, but we're also not seeing Neve McLaughlin, who was one of our better scorers last season. Shelley Heath, who was definitely pretty prominent in my team throughout the year. Chelsea Randall, who put up 103 in one game last season as well. Elizabeth Georgiou-Stathis, now midfield only. It's just a very different looking top end for this defender group.
Yeah, it really is. We've lost a lot of really quality defenders. Lucy McAvoy has always been quite a reliable one, midfield only. Riley Wilcox has been a defender at times as well. It's going to be really, really fascinating. And it's extra fascinating because we've got 12 players in the 60-70 bracket. So that just under top line premium defender. Those are the players that are often really interesting and the ones that can jump 5 to 10 points to become that premium player. So it's going to be quite interesting to see who we want in our top six, and we're going to get there very shortly. But I think the thing that really does make this so difficult is that the average defender score last season was 43. And let's be honest, that's probably not going to cut it in your fantasy side, is it, Mel?
That sounds a lot like my fantasy side last season, but...
That's why I threw you.
Thanks. But, you know, yeah, it's... Like you said, with the top six, like, there's six breakout players in terms of last year's fantasy average, which makes picking the top six for this year fairly easy. It's really just about the order because they were such a kind of branch above the rest. But it's going to be so tempting with kind of not a lot of great rookie options in the defenders line and a whole pile of people priced in the middle. It's going to be so tempting to go for a mid-price madness strategy on the back line because, yeah, there's just... six locks and then a whole lot of everyone else.
I would never partake in any sort of madness, but if I am going to pick my top six, I think, as you've said, Mel, there's some really obvious ones and we'll launch straight into it. Mel, your number one pick, I mean, what a player this one is, and I think it's going to be top priority for a lot of people to bring in.
Yes, so it is the newly statused defender, Sivi Fish, coming in at 81.8. She was fantastic in our sides as a midfielder last year, but her move to defensive status this season means she's right up there in the high prices. With another season under her belt, she's only going to get better and better because, fantastic breakout season last year, but can't wait to see what she does this year. She showed us last season that she's got the speed, energy, footy IQ. She was already elite and she's going to be even more elite this season. Most metres gained in the competition is just an incredible stat. Obviously, she's young and energetic and she's running laps around everyone else, but, like, that alone is a pretty great reason to pick her because she's going to be everywhere. And then sixth in the competition for kicks as well. So just an absolute fantasy point moneymaker. She scored over 95 times last season.
Wow.
Which is, like, if you just take that alone, if you think she's going to score 90 every week, that boosts her average up another 9 points to be by far the highest defender. So the only kind of downside on Zippy Fish is that maybe they might have a tougher fixture this season. But other than that, I think she's a lock for number one.
I mean, tougher fixture might mean more kickouts, and they did entrust Zippy Fish with a lot of those kickouts. So I think that's pretty good. And something I know, Jono, you're very strong on is that it's a second-year breakout in AFLW, so it sounds like a sure thing to me.
We do love a second year breakout. I think that's the big one, and it is something that's I suppose that fixture that the Sydney Swans have is something we're going to talk about in the Sydney episode. So I think it is going to be a good thing for her.
Fantastic. Now, going from a brand new face in that back line to someone who we're a bit more familiar with but didn't get much of last season, who is your number two, Mel?
Yes, we do love a discounted player, and we're going with Maddie Gay. So she only played two games last year due to injury. In those two games, she got about an 80 and an 80, so she's a lock for an 80, I'd say. but in the season before, 2024, she finished top four for rebound 50s across the competition. She was up there for intercept possessions, so she's got everything you need for a top scoring defender and a top defender generally in AFLW. If she's coming in healthy this season, that will be really great for Essendon, firstly, because I know they could use her, but also for fantasy scoring potential. So Maddie Gay is my number two pick.
Yeah, I think Maddie Gay is a great pick. Very, very consistent from round one of season nine to last season. Only scored under 70 twice, and it's a low of 51. It's consistency that you dream of. Essendon go through it. I think it's a really easy pick for me, Maddie Gay.
I think she's also one of those players who has that gear to go to. So in that Bulldogs game last year, I don't know if you remember, but she was on 21 at halftime. We're all cursing Maddie Gay for not putting up, you know, any scores. And then she has a 41-point third quarter to sort of just leapfrog herself back into the premium scoring group, ended on an 87. So that's what I love from my players when they've got that extra gear to go to.
For number three, I've got Tilly Lucas-Rodd. So with an 82 average, they were the highest averaging defender last season, but I've bumped them down to pick number three here just because there's been a change of club and that causes a little bit of uncertainty. You would think that moving to a bottom four club would give a amazing kind of experienced defender like TLR some upside, but I'm just not sure how much additional potential there's going to be. I think it might be kind of fairly similar to the Hawks in terms of the opportunities for kind of chippy and kicks around in the back line. However, TLR is such a known entity and such a kind of lock in the back lines that I know for certain that they're going to be a top five or a top five or six defender that we're going to be talking about for the rest of the season. It's just a matter of where there's always a risk of coming in so highly averaged that you can only kind of go one direction and that's down. So that does cause a little bit of a risk, but I think TLR is still a safe bet for your starting squad.
Yeah, I agree with that. And as you say, bit of uncertainty around the new club, but they're such a good player. Maybe not someone you want to pick to start with, maybe someone you target later, but still an excellent, excellent player. Now, with pick number four, what a breakout player this was last season.
Yes, it is Maeve Chaplin. So they increased their average 22 points from 2024 up to finish last season on a 74.2, which is very impressive. They were the third highest interceptor in the league last season, fifth for rebound 50s. She took out the joint high-scoring defender score last season, which was 120, which you already mentioned up the top, shared with new defender, Tani White, which is 45 points above her current average. So that's some good headroom. We like to see that. But, yeah, she played such an important role at Melbourne in the back line last season. I can't see that changing anytime soon. I think that she's going to be someone that we're talking about in the top defenders for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I agree. Superstar player. And you've mentioned another player in that lot who is your number five, newly minted defender as well, and a proven high scorer.
Yes, Tani White, which I'm quite excited to be back in fantasy relevancy, averaged 81. So that bumps her up into the top five or six defenders straight away as she comes over from her midfield status. Her role change last season saw her named in the All-Australian squad in 2025, and she's absolutely thrived in the back line. She has a huge ceiling, as with Maeve, the 120 points, which is very high above her current average. And what I like about Tani White as a pick is that she really has that halfback role largely to herself at Collingwood. There's a lot of kind of overlapping in the midfield forward options at the Pies, but it kind of looks like Tani's a bit more of a lock on that backline role, which gives me the hope that she will be continuing to score up in the 80s as a defender this season. There's a little bit of uncertainty whether or not she can go higher. I'm not really sure what the source might be to increase her average beyond that, but you don't really need to increase your average beyond that if you're one of two defenders in averaging 80.
Yeah, well, I mean, the way that I see the upside is that Collingwood's pressure was really good last season, but they didn't have their hands on the ball that much. So I think Collingwood are an improving side. I think this season, if they can just sort of arrest back a little bit of control of games, then Tani White's one of the players that are going to be, you know, benefiting from that.
Yeah, and the main scoring for Tani White was the marks. And if Collingwood actually, as you say, get the ball and actually play some of that chippy-chippy a bit more rather than kicking it sideways and then panicking, that would be great for both Collingwood and Tani White scoring. So your number six, though, Liam's heart will be singing with this one.
I know.
A fantastic player who we love.
Rounding out the top six highest fantasy averages from last season, we've got Serene Watson coming in with 75.5. I've put her sixth in the list. I mean, she had a fantastic 2025, third highest in the comp for rebound 50s, All-Australian. She's now the captain. So she's got a lot of promise here. However, I do feel like her average there of 75.5 is fairly well baked. She's got very consistent scoring, so not a lot of low scores, kind of lower end of the high scores. I'm not really sure, once again, where that kind of breakout scoring will come from, but once again, when you're so highly averaged coming into the season, it doesn't really matter. I think she'll be someone that continues in the top defenders again this season.
Yeah, very, very consistent. Other than a 35 against West Coast, was pretty much scoring over 60 every single week, yeah, which is exactly what you want. So, yeah, clearly a very clear top six, I think, because, as you say, they all average over 70. I think they'll all quite comfortably do that again. I guess now it's a great time to talk about our underpriced premium. So the players that are in that next band that might be able to jump into that 70 or are, you know, a little bit cheaper because of injury, things like that. So I'm going to start off with a player who we've been a big fan of here at Freekick for a long time. That's Ella Heads at Port Adelaide. Now, Ella Heads averaged 65.3 last year, which is pretty impressive for a team that straight up refused to take marks. They just got the ball and were like, let's just kick it as far as we can. Her top average was a 68 in her second season at the Swans. But the thing for me is, what happens if their new coach decides, hey, what if we actually hold on to possession and do a bit of kicking around when we're under a bit of pressure? Because if there's a couple of extra kick marks there for Ella Heads, that's 10 points easy, and that's a 75. I think that would be fantastic. And I am absolutely chuffed that I'm now going to put this one down as our first defender. Watch and wait for the preseason. Let's see what that role looks like, how that game style shapes up for Port Adelaide, because I think Ella Heads could really, really benefit. Jono, do you have any thoughts on this one?
Oh, absolutely. I think what Glenn Strawn does is going to be fascinating, because there's so many players there that have the talent to pull off not just the contested game style that they do, but also more of a hold possession game style. And if they do decide to go that way, oh, we're going to see a lot of fantasy averages going through the roof. So a very, very exciting one there.
Speaking of players whose fantasy averages could go through the roof, or perhaps not, but maybe they're still underpriced. Jono, who is your underpriced premium?
Yeah, I mean, let's definitely temper some expectations with this one. But I do have some interest in Jade Ellinger this preseason. I think Ellinger is one of those players who's just getting better and better every season, and is a very, very consistent scorer normally. Normally, we're sort of seeing that 60 to 90 mark scoring very consistently in that band. Actually had a top score of 94 last season, so has a decent ceiling for a defender. They just have a couple outlier games that are really hard to explain, and they seem to have one or two of these every year going back. And there's not like it's a trend against really easy teams where their ball wasn't in the back 50, or whether it was against a really challenging team who kept the ball off them. But their outlier game last season was a 36 against Richmond in round 7, which was a game that Brisbane won pretty comfortably. So I'm not quite sure why that happened. But, I mean, you just have to drop off any of these games. The average goes up by 5 to 10 almost instantly. Or you wait for that to happen and then you jump on afterwards. You know, it's at some point I feel like Ellinger will be that 75 averaging player.
I was going to say, if she's had a low score every season for the past few seasons, it's hard to see that's just going to jump out of her average this
it's
year.
Why? Yeah, it's just I can't find a reason for it, you know? I'm looking for any sort of trend or consistency. If someone can figure it out, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Take out a couple of those games and Jade Ellinger could very easily jump into that top bracket of players. Mel, you've gone for another player who was a big breakout player last season. Averaged a bit less than these two, but I think has the potential to possibly go above them.
So I've gone with Britt Gutnecht, who's coming in with a 60.3 average, so a little bit on the low side. But, you know, we also didn't really define what underpriced premiums were, so I was like, this counts. She definitely had a huge improvement last season with her shift to defence. So up from a 39 average in season 9, when she was a centre-half forward, up to this 60.3, that's huge. And she became one of the two primary kick-in takers at the Bulldogs. Which has definitely been helping her with her kicks and her scoring there, kind of leading the kick-ins for the Bulldogs. Her average of 60 last season, though, includes two scores in the 30s. So kind of like Ellinger, if we just scrub those out, her average goes up massively. But I do think that with, you know, another preseason and a season in this role in the back line, the average itself can just increase from her kind of like comfort level and improvement in the role. So I think she, you know, it might be a stretch to get up to premium, but I think there's definitely headroom there and she's a player I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah, very, very interesting player. I mean, from the sounds of it, basically the trend is that if players stop scoring badly, they'll average well.
Yeah, just remove those outliers. So that's how it works.
So, you know, just look for a player who just isn't going to score badly. It's that simple. We've got a couple of other honourable mentions. Charlie Thomas at West Coast has always been a really, really strong scorer. Probably doesn't quite have the same ceiling as some of the other ones, but has been very, very consistent.
Yeah, I think she's one of the ones that have really suffered from a change in game style. They're playing a very contested possession game these days compared to sort of trying to hold possession and just not get scored on as heavily. They're so much more aggressive and direct, West Coast. And I think Charlie Thomas's scoring has unfortunately been one of the things that have fell by the wayside as a result.
Yeah, and it was noticeable last season because it wasn't a huge drop. It was dropped from 70 to 66. But it's just enough to put her just outside of that top tier premium range. And again, didn't really score badly in any particular game. There was a couple of 50s and a 44, but their top score was only a 79, which doesn't really quite put them in the same tier as a lot of these other ones. Another one that you might be thinking, another player like Charlie Thomas, who is now a club captain, is Rebecca Webster at Geelong. Has had two previous seasons averaging over 70. Knows how to get her hands on the ball. Be a bit of a watch to see how her role develops because she has played a lot of halfback, played as a centre-bounce midfielder. Could be someone who does move into that midfield and really boost that score. So another really interesting one, only averaged 59 last season. We've got a few inactive flags, and this is more for players who you might be looking for and wondering, where's that player gone? The main one being Chelsea Randall, who Jono mentioned earlier, has always been a absolute warrior and a very fantastic fantasy player, has retired. So if you're looking for Chelsea Randall, unfortunately, she won't be there. A lot of the other players that are inactive in the sense that they're no longer defenders. We've mentioned them at the start, players like Sarah Goodwin. So yeah, the premium line is going to be fascinating and seeing how we do pick those players. But now it is time for possibly everyone's favorite part, especially when it comes to defenders, which is picking those mid-priced options, the ones that you think they're a little bit underpriced, they're a little bit speculative, they could jump up quite a bit in money, they could also mean that your season doesn't go very well at all. But mid-priced options are always fascinating, and Mel, you have a fantastic one to start.
Yes, this is a mid-priced option I'm fairly confident about, as opposed to some of the other madness that we might hear later. But Daisy Darcy is coming in priced at 53.4, which is due to the fact that she missed season 10 with injury. So she's coming in on a discount of her 2024 average of 66.8. So that already there, if she could, you know, get back up to that 66.8, that would put her placed at kind of 7th, 8th, kind of top 10 defenders, just like that, which would be fantastic. I think that it'll be interesting to see how she goes with the role, because she is returning hopefully to that halfback role, but we saw that that was very ably filled by Niamh McLaughlin in the past, which is going to be a combination to, I'd say, watch and see how the scoring and the potential distributes around there. But if she is looking comfortable and back like we've seen her in the past, that could be a really great leap in your mid-price range that will be fantastic to take advantage of early in the season.
I think it's a fantastic one. Dizzy Darcy was a player that we were all really, really keen on. Was getting a bit of midfield time, is clearly one of the best kicks at the Gold Coast and a player that they definitely want the ball in the hands on. I think the trajectory looks really, really good for Dizzy Darcy. I could even see Darcy being like a D2 to start. What do you reckon, Jono?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel like if we're trying to think of a potential role for Dizzy Darcy, then that Niamh McLaughlin role, I could almost see them rotating, you know, one off halfback, one in the midfield, and just sort of having that dynamic between them, which I think can only be good for both of them. Yeah.
Yeah. And for us.
It would be fantastic for scoring. Speaking of players who were sitting out last season, Jono, you've got another player who has previously been a very, very consistent scorer.
Yes, yeah. And I thought for a moment your segue was going to be speaking of elite kicks, because we've got another one here as well in Chantelle Emmonson, who sat out last season with a pregnancy but returns in 2026. And I think Geelong is screaming out for this sort of a player. So In previous seasons, she's averaged 61.2 in 2023 and then 54.7 in 2024. And because of missing last season, she's only priced at 43.8. So there is built-in upside. But look, Geelong, I think their ability to move out of their back 50 is something that Mick Stanier, the new coach coming in, is going to be looking very strongly at how to do that. Having a player of Emmonson's, you know, quality back there is going to be a big boon. Also, a big kick in taker. And that's something that I think Geelong last year were really struggling with. They kept rotating who was doing it each week. I don't think there was a real clear taker. Even as late as round 10, their leading kick in taker for the year in Georgie Rankin didn't have any because they were still trying to find the player that they wanted to be distributing the ball out of the back half. So I think Chantel Emmonson is going to be a very, very handy player and one that I'm pretty strongly considering at this point of the season to be that mid-price defender for me, maybe D3, D4.
Yeah, I mean, as a Geelong supporter myself, I love Chantel Emmonson. I think it's a fantastic pick. But I think that is a huge point that you make about the kick-ins and the distributor that they were really missing last season. I think that between her and Becky Webster, they were the two main players to move the ball out of the back line. How Mick Stanier uses those players will be quite interesting. We saw that Emma Kilpatrick was also one of the players that they used for a bit of run and pace. Between those three, I think are probably the main players that they will look to. But Chantel Emmonson has a really good history and is at a very tantalizing price there, I think. I've gone for another veteran type player, not necessarily in terms of age, but just from experience, and that's Nicole Bresnahan, who has been a fantastic player for North, but has really struggled with injury over the last few seasons. Sat out a lot of last season, played a single game for a 58, and would be priced at 49, so pretty cheap. Averaged a 57.5 in her career best year. But for me, the thing that I really like about Nicole Bresnahan is that there is a spot for her now with Sarah Wright retiring. So they need that small defender there. And I think she's too good a player not to consider. Jono, you're a coach, rather, that has always loved Nicole Bresnahan. Can I get your thoughts, please?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the only issue with Nicole Bresnahan in recent seasons has been that she hasn't been able to play due to injury. I'm a big fan. I think she's consistently been underpriced, and all we really need is a good go at it on the fitness front. So fingers crossed that she can stay fit in 2026.
Sounds like a watch and wait to me.
I love a watch and wait. Pretty much every player is a watch and wait once you get to the mid-priced areas, because yes. Who knows at this stage?
I gotta say, this feels like a very strong mid-priced option section. I mean, I would take all of these three before I would take our underpriced primos, quite frankly.
That is probably true, actually. I think that going from picking maybe one of the actual really big guns and then going into this one is probably going to be a major part of our strategy episode when we get to that one later in time. A couple of other honorable mentions. Jenna Richardson, fantastic player, averaged 53 last season. We'll probably get a bit more responsibility with Tilly Lucas-Rod now not there, so that could be quite an interesting one. Nat Grider up at Brisbane has always been a very consistent scorer, only averaged a 50.7 last season. And Sophie van der Quavel has always been one of the important run and carry players for the Bombers. Will be priced at a 48.9, but can push up towards that 60 mark as well. So there's a lot of players that we can think about for that mid price, which is always so important for our defense. We do have a couple of inactive flags here, which are players that are in the game, but aren't actually going to be playing next season. Whether they were fantasy options or not, I'm not 100% sure. But a couple of names, Emily Everest in particular for the Hawks, which I know Jono is very devastated about, out with an ACL injury, was taking a lot of the kickouts as well. So that's quite an interesting one. And for the Bulldogs, Maggie Gorham as well will not be playing this season. So if you're looking to pick those players, I would highly recommend not doing so.
Great advice.
Great advice. Pick players that are playing is usually better. So now we move into our rookie section, our cash cows. And I think the three that we've got here as our options are really, really interesting ones, but it is a pretty thin area. So we'll start with you, Jono. We've got a player that's come via a trade.
Yes. Yeah. I think this is a very interesting one, and I'm hoping we get an early debut for Georgia Stubbs.
Stubbsy.
So basement priced, our first $200,000 player that we are discussing on the podcast, who is a very, very pacey mid and half back. Unfortunately, couldn't crack a debut at North Melbourne due to a bit of bad luck. She had a dislocated ankle in 2024 that ruled her out. She didn't even play VFLW in the last couple seasons. And by the time she was back fit again late last year, VFLW was over, and it's a very tough side to break into at North Melbourne when you're looking to get into that midfield or that half back line. So unfortunately couldn't crack through for a debut, but has moved across to the Richmond Tigers, and I think honestly is a perfect fit for what they're looking for. They really struggled with defending on the outside last year. They did not look to have a lot of pace through that defensive line. And so I think Georgia Stubbs immediately fits that bill. And I'm very much hoping that new coach Jared Donders sees that as well.
I love that Georgia Stubbs is relevant because I feel like she was one of those autofill players either last season or the season before.
Yes.
Everyone's like, why has this player who is not playing been autofilled into my side? Who is Georgia Stubbs? And now, 1 to 2 years later, we get to answer who is Georgia Stubbs with, like, excitement. She's made it as our number one, or first off the rank cash cow pick on the Defenders episode. How exciting. What a development for Georgia Stubbs.
Yeah, super exciting because I think, as you say, Mel, like, she had very high ownership for a player that not only we hadn't thought about at all but wasn't going to play.
Yeah.
It was just like, Why is this player so relevant? But I think it's a great pick, as you say, Jono. Going to a team that needs that sort of player, we really hope that Georgia Stubbs can make an impact early. Speaking of making an impact early, we have heard about this player from a player that we've also mentioned previously in this episode.
Yes.
Mel, who have you got as your rookie pick?
I just realised I've double-dogged and that I've picked... Bulldogs once again. But I've gone with Mizuki Brothwell. She's coming in a little bit more expensive, so 235K, also our first 235K player we've discussed, for pick 14 at the Bulldogs. Coming in as an intercept defender, heard from the interview that she is likely to make an impact early off halfback, despite being relatively new to football. And I think the thing that gives me a bit more confidence as well is her Coates Talent League scoring. Coming in with a 65 fantasy point average with some like 17 disposal average, great on the tackles as well. I think that she has all of the tick boxes that we would want to see for a rookie to debut and put in our starting squad. So I think she's a fairly good gamble.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the real question mark with Mizuki Brothwell is, will she play? I think that's pretty much it.
I mean, that is the question with a lot of these rookies. But yeah, so it's a we'll put a watch and wait on that one, I reckon.
Yes, we will. I love a watch and wait. Speaking of players that we want to play early, I think one of the most likely rookies that will play early is my pick, and that is the pick 2 from the National Draft, Scarlett Johnson. Up at GWS, all the indication is that Scarlett Johnson is going to be an absolute star, average 100 points in the Coates League, and will highly likely play early. GWS desperately need exciting, talented youngsters to play, so I think the chances of her debuting in round one should be fairly high. The main caveat there is that she is very expensive for a cash cow, and is our first 295K player. So almost a whole $100,000 more expensive than a Georgia Stubbs, but also probably has the best track record of scoring points. And I guess that's what it's all about, really, is scoring points.
Yes, and playing.
Scoring points and playing. It's the most important thing you can do in this. We were going to go with some honourable mentions for other players who might be good options as a cheap defender, but we were really struggling to find any. Either of you got any players that you might take an absolute gamble on? Silence. That's exactly what I thought. We've got one player written down, which is Vumulau Lo'ifi, former Carlton player, now the Bulldogs. Hasn't really had much of a go at it, but is a very good player when they're on the park. Will be cheap. Again, it's just a matter of where they play. And they are probably really fighting for a spot with Mizuki Brothwell. So really, whichever one of them gets a game, just jump on board.
I also assume it's about a 50-50 at this point that North will debut a new Irish player who just takes over the league and becomes the best rookie of the season. And I'm just waiting to find out who that is.
True, but usually that's a forward.
That's true.
However, one of the players that does fit that bill is Sarah Wall.
There we go.
200k defender, sister of Vicky Wall, who has previously been a very good cash cow for us. So keep your eyes on Sarah Wall, because apparently North Melbourne just have that special sauce.
There you go.
So that's a good summary of all of the players that you might, well, not all the players, but many of the players that you might look at on different price points. So now I guess we'll now have a bit of a chat about the line strategies and who you are probably going to consider as a lock. Who are you, Jono and Mel, going to pick as the player that you're going to put straight into your team? I'll start with you, Jono. Who is your number one player that you're going to pick? The first one that you pick, and what is your strategy going to look like?
Yes, so I think Zippy Fish is probably going to be the first player locked into my side. I'm very, very keen to see the potential that she has to potentially be a 100 averaging defender. I think that's a possibility, which is very, very exciting to say. Beyond that, though, I think my strategy is going to be to target a lot of these mid-prices, because I think that's where a lot of the value is. So Daisy Darcy, Chantelle Emmonson, and Nicole Bresnahan are all players that I'm looking at in my side. I think I'm going to try and save my cash for other lines, to be honest, because I think here we've got a little bit of value to work with.
Yeah, I think that's a really, based on what we've said so far, a really, really viable strategy.
I will flag that I was going to put Zippy Fish as a lock in my side, hoping she'll be a 90 averaging defender, but if she goes 100 averaging defender, I'll absolutely take that. I think this is the line to take advantage of the fact that we have a lot of discounted players coming in that mid-price range who have guaranteed value, or essentially guaranteed value on top of them. Yeah, and the fact that we've only got six elite premiums to choose from. So I think picking one out of the six and then filling it up with some mid-prices is the way to go for me as well. How boring. Willow, do you have something else to add?
Well, I'm going to go for a really unique idea and think maybe Zippy Fish could be... No, I think for me, based on this idea, to me, the player that I'm the most keen for is actually Scarlett Johnson. For that very reason, I think it's a cheap cash cow that we can get in our back line, especially if she plays early. Definitely got scoring potential, so hopefully that will be a very good set-and-forget rookie for early parts of the season. I think for me, the only sort of caveat to the pick Zippy Fish and then go mid-prices is Maddie Gay is a really, really tempting one, given she is somewhat underpriced. That's probably the only other tempter in that really top bracket. And whether it's going, say, Zippy, Maddie Gay, and then only one of those mid-priced options before going a few rookies, that's probably the only other consideration I'm going for.
Well, I think what's going to really drive the structure here is going to be how many of these rookies we get. Because if we get all three, then we can start with one on field.
Yes.
But I don't want to start with a red dot on my bench anywhere. So if we only end up with, say, two of the three here, let's say Mizuki Brothwell and Scarlett Johnson debut, but we don't get Georgia Stubbs for whatever reason, then at that point we are going to have a pretty expensive defensive line, I think, almost by force.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think that's going to come a lot down to looking at those team selections early on and seeing who can we get in that really cheap price bracket that might be able to fill our defensive rookie lines.
That's what you alluded to at the start. We're underweighted on rookies in the defensive line. 30% of players, 23% of the rookies. So this is not the line to be shoving full of rookies and maximising there. So I think we are kind of forced into this, whether they debut or not, a little bit. But it makes it an exciting line.
It does. It does, absolutely. And I think it's probably a line that can really be a differentiator. I think that there are a lot of players in some of the other lines where a huge amount of players are going to have those players. And I think from the sounds of it, every single player is going to pick Zippy Fish. But I think the players between Zippy Fish and your bottom price rookie could really take a great array of different confirmations. And I think that's something that's going to be super interesting in order to look at. Do we have any final thoughts on strategy?
I mean, you could run a world where you do something like Matty Gay at D1. You could then put Ella Heads at D2. I think, you know, if we do get that Port Adelaide switch up, then that's definitely something to keep in mind. But I don't know. I think it's probably that top line that's going to differentiate the teams the most now, the more that I think about it.
Sounds like there's going to be a lot of intrigue and a lot of shuffling in coaches' backlines over the next few weeks as we lead into the season. We can wrap it up there, but it's been a fascinating episode talking about the Defenders. I've been your host, Willow. I've been here with Jono and Mel, who have been fantastic. Now, if you're looking for a bit more detail on these players, we will have an article out on our Substack, which you will be able to read about the players in more detail, who you're picking in your back line. You'll also be able to find all of our posts on our social media, which will also have a little bit of a summary on who our top six will be. Thank you, Mel. And this has also been a great little break for us in our club review series. So in our free kick streams, we have indeed been going through each team more individually. So if you do want to look at who all of the teams have as their players, then that is where you need to go. We've got three out now. Collingwood is up next. And we've also got articles to support that on our Substack. We'll also have an article on the AFL website to go through these really good defender options. So keep your eye out for that one. Heaps of content out there. And I hope you've been enjoying the series so far. I have been Willow once again. We have been Free Kick. Thank you for joining us.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.